Chapter 28. It was November 26th, one day before the shops intended to inform the Empress that her war was lost. She had no premonition. She had come down to the building to see and perhaps to do as Captain Clark had suggested. She still felt repelled, though without fear. The feeling that she had was that the Empress of Isher must not involve her own person in harebrained adventures. Yet the thought had grown, and here she was. At the very least, she would watch and wait while Captain Clark and the scientists made the trip. She climbed briskly out of her car plane and looked around her. In the near distance, a concealing haze rose up lazily into the sky, an artificial fog that for months now had cut off this city district from the view of the curious. She walked slowly forward, her distinctive Isher face turning this way and that as she examined the scene. She beckoned Captain Clark.
"When is the building due?"
The smiling young man saluted briskly. "In 7 minutes, Your Majesty."
"Have you all the necessary equipment?"
She listened carefully to his recapitulation. 7 groups of scientists would enter the building, each with his own instrument. It was a pleasure to realize that Captain Clark had personally checked over the lists of machines in each group.
"Captain," she glowed, "you're a treasure."
Kale did not reply. Her praise meant nothing. This girl, who almost literally owned the world, surely did not expect intelligent people to be absolutely faithful to her in exchange for a few compliments and army pay. He had no sense of anticipatory guilt, and in fact did not regard what he intended to do as being in any way damaging to her. In Isher, you did what was necessary, and for him there was no turning back. The pattern of his action was already set. The woman was looking over the scene again. The hole in the ground where the building had been was to her right. To her left was the Greenway weapon shop with its park. It was the first time she had seen one in which the glitter signs were not working. That made her feel better. The shop seemed strangely isolated there in the shadows of its trees. She clenched her hands and thought,
if all the weapon shops in the solar system were suddenly eliminated, the few thousand park-like lots where they had been could so easily be converted into almost anything that, in one generation, she told herself with a dark certainty, they'd be forgotten. The new children would grow up wondering what mythological nonsense their elders were talking. By all the gods of space, she said aloud, passionately, it's going to happen.
Her words were like a cue. The air shimmered strangely, and where there had been an enormous symmetrical hole abruptly towered a building.
Right on the minute, said Captain Cale Clark beside with satisfaction.
Inelda stared at the structure, chilled. She had watched this process once on a telestat screen. It was different, being on the scene. For one thing, the size showed up better. For a quarter of a mile, it reared up into the heavens, solid in its alloyed steel and plastic construction, as wide and long as it was high. It had to be large, of course. The engineers had stipulated oversized vacuums between the various energy rooms. The actual living space inside was tiny. It took about an hour to inspect all the levels.
Well, said Inelda in a tone of relief, the place doesn't seem to have been damaged in any way by its experiences. What about the rats?
The rats had been placed in the building during an earlier appearance. So far, they had showed no sign of being affected. It was wise, though, to verify that they were still unharmed. She waited now in an upper room, glancing intermittently at her watch as the minutes fled by. It was annoying to realize that she was nervous. But standing there in the virtual silence of an almost empty building, she felt that she was being foolish and that she was even considering going along. She glanced at the men who had volunteered to accompany her if she went. Their silence was not normal, and they did not look at her, but stood moodily gazing through the transparent wall. There was a sound of footsteps. Captain Clark came striding into view. He was smiling, and in his cupped hands he held a white rat. "Your Majesty," he said, "just look at him, bright as a button." He was so cheerful that when he held the little animal out to her, she took it and stared down at it thoughtfully. On abrupt impulse, she drew it up and pressed its warm body against her cheek.
"What would we do," she murmured, "without lovely little rats like you?"
She glanced at Captain Clark.
"Well, sir," she said, "what is the scientific opinion?"
"Every rat," Clark said, is organically, emotionally, and psychologically sound. All the tests that show rats for what they are were favorable. Inelda nodded. It fitted. At the beginning, on the day the first attack was launched, before the men inside knew what was happening, the structure had disappeared, causing an immense confusion inside of which she had never received a coherent account. The moment, on that occasion, the building reappeared, all personnel were withdrawn, and no one had been permitted to take the trip since then. But physical examinations of the men proved them unharmed. Still, Inelda hesitated. It would look bad now if she failed to go along. But there were so many factors to be considered. If anything happened to her, the Isher government might fall. She had no direct heir. The succession would fall to Prince Del Curtin, who was popular but known by many people to be out of her favor. The whole situation was ridiculous. She felt hedged in, but there was no use denying the reality.
Captain, she said firmly, you have volunteered to take this journey whether I go or not. I have definitely decided not to go. I wish you luck and wish, too, that I could go with you. But I'm afraid that I must not. As Empress, I do not feel free for light-hearted adventures.
She held out her hand.
Go with my blessing.
Less than an hour later, she watched as the building flicked into nothingness. She waited. Food was brought. She ate it in her car plane, read several state papers she had brought along, and then, as darkness fell over the capital city of her empire, saw by her watch that once more the building was due back. It flashed into view, and presently men began to troop out. One of the scientists came over.
Your Majesty, he said, the journey was accomplished without incident except for one thing. Captain Clark, as you know, intended to leave the building for exploration purposes. He did leave it. We received one message from him, spoken into his wrist stat, to the effect that the date was August 7th, 4084 Isher. That was the last we heard. Something must have happened to him. He failed to come back in time to make the return journey with us.
But,
said Inelda. She stopped blankly. Then,
but that means from August 7th to November 26th there were two Cale Clarks in existence, the normal and the one who went back in time.
She paused, uncertain.
The old time paradox, she thought to herself. Can man go back in time and shake hands with himself?
Aloud, she said wonderingly,
but whatever became of the second one?